Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. So today I want to talk about avoid TSR in this executive order series. Avoid TSR. I think I'm going to take this off because it's warm in here, but I don't have nothing to hold this. I'll keep it on. Avoid TSR in this executive order series. The scripture I want to lift this morning, and you do have handouts, so I'll be here for 2 weeks, so if I have to just stop because of time's sake, then I will. But I have a lot to share this morning. This is really going to be good this morning, not because I'm teaching, because this is going to be good today. And we are trying to avoid TSR. TSR basically is in the scripture. Ready, set, read. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, this is found in the Bible two times. It's found in Proverbs 14, 12, and it's found in Proverbs 16, 25. So it's in God's word twice. So if you see something in God's word twice, what does that mean? That means you really need to pay attention. Everybody say, there is a way that seems what that seems right. And on your handout, TSR means, if you want to fill in the blank or in your notes, that seems today, that seems right. It's tricky because it's tricky. Everybody say tricky. It's tricky because looks can be deceiving. Looks can be deceiving, and feelings are strong, but they can fool you. All right. Feelings are strong, but it can fool you. All right. And then also, I want to lift this because fast money is too good to be true. Everybody say fast money is too good to be true. So TSR is that seems right. There is a way that we take that seems right, but the end what? It leads to death. I really don't want y'all to just move past the scripture too fast. And I don't want to bore you by staying in the scripture too long, but that seems right. It's tricky because perhaps there are good intentions with TSR. Good intentions. You mean well, but TSR could lead to what? According to this passage, it could lead to death. Alpheus is trying to avoid TSR. I feel like I'm pretty clever and witsy. Get it from my daddy, honestly. But TSR is that seems right. That seems right. TSR may feel like you are following your heart. I'm just going to follow my heart. I'm just going to follow my heart. I am going to just follow my heart. But the Bible says, I don't have it on the screen, but the Bible says, don't follow your heart or don't trust your heart because it is what? It is wicked and what? TSR. Deceitful. Deceitful. That seems right. The heart is wicked and deceitful. No man can trust it. Or it says, who can trust it? TSR can have an entire group following a leader that's wrong. It's like the blind leading the what? The blind leading the blind. That seems right. That seems right. The Bible says the very elect will be deceived, and that's what we're trying to avoid, TSR, because the very elect, if you are going to be deceived, then you have let TSR win. That seems right. The very elect is going to be deceived. I'm talking to what I always say, veteran Christians. In other words, you have been walking with God for a long time. But it's interesting that the Bible says the very elect will be deceived. Imagine at the end of your journey here on earth, you find out that you were deceived, that it was all a hoax. Wouldn't you be sad? I mean, wouldn't it be like, my goodness, I should have just stayed in the world. All those clubs I missed, all of that, X, Y, Z, everything I said no to, I should have. So it's interesting that the Bible says the very elect will be deceived. But what does that mean? TSR needs a divine intervention. That seems right. That seems right. That TS, that seems right. It needs, we need to make sure that we are not on the path of TSR. Because you can be on the path of TSR and you don't even know it. That is a scary place to be. I've been fooled. I've been scammed before. Anybody in this room been scammed? I've been scammed, and it's like I've been robbed. My house has been broken into, not robbed at gunpoint, but my house has been broken into. It is a bad place to be. You don't want to have egg on your face. We can avoid TSR. We can avoid TSR if we pray and we attend to God's executive orders. This is the series, Executive Orders. I'm not sure if Lady Webb, if she talked about what executive orders are. Yes or no? I didn't get to watch the replay. Did she talk about just executive orders in general? I don't think so. So executive orders, I want to just talk about this real quick. Plus, you have space for it on your sheet. Executive orders. But just one more time, TSR. When I say TSR, it stands for what? That seems right. Good intentions are not always God intentions. Remember, it got Uzzah in trouble because he did what? He touched, in the Bible, it was this man, he touched the ark of God, which is representative of God's presence or the holy things of God, like ultra holy. Like, and so he had good, that seems right, TSR. And so this man, God said, first of all, you're supposed to do something a certain way. And he thought he was doing something. He was TSRing it. And he went and touched the ark of God. And what happened? The Bible says that God killed this man named Uzzah because of TSR. It seemed right, but it actually got him killed. Amen. Peter had a TSR moment. Amen. And God actually told Peter, bro, you are out of pocket, because Peter was trying to tell Jesus, no, you're not going to die. I don't want you to be killed. I don't want you to go out like this. And then Jesus looked at Peter and said, I'm summarizing. Y'all know this is fair for us. Jesus said, Peter, you're out of pocket because I must die. I must save the world through this way. But Peter thought he was doing something good by stopping, by saying, Jesus, you, by speaking against the will of God. That makes sense? And so you got to be careful that you have good intentions, but it's not God intentions. And me and you, we have TSR moments. But executive orders, let's talk about it for about 2 or 3 minutes. Little known facts about executive orders. I know y'all tired of seeing these executive orders and you want to snatch that pen from the leadership. I'm reading your minds. You're like, but executive orders have been made by all presidents. Number two, they are used to make decisions quickly. Believe it or not, it helps the government to do important things. Amen. And number four, everyone in the country has to do what? Follow the order. Okay. President does not need Congress to make it. Every president abuses and use the privilege to ignite or trigger an executive order. All presidents. Everybody say all presidents. Everybody say all of them. It speeds up the agenda of the president who signs the order. Everybody say patience. Patience. Everybody say patience. So perhaps all of the presidents were impatient, or all of the presidents needed to get something done quickly. And it could be politically motivated. It could be politically motivated. But believe it or not, this current administration is not signing the most executive orders. Franklin D. Roosevelt signed 3,721 executive orders from 1933 to 1945. If you're looking at that, you say, man, you were president for like 25 years. That's a good observation, because he actually was president for how many terms? Three terms. Why?
Franklin D. Roosevelt was president for not one, not two, but so that's what, 12 years. All right. Can y'all take a president for 12 years? He said, depends. I knew you were going to say that. But the from 1933 to 1939, we were in the middle in this country of the Great Depression. We had the Great Depression. You had World War II. And before 1951, there were no term limits. Y'all saying, thank God we have term limits. So little known facts about executive orders. Okay. And so from Genesis to Revelation, there are plenty of executive orders from God to fix this mess. What mess? To fix our lives. The mess that Adam and Eve got us in. Amen. Amen. The Bible is trusted. Everybody say the Bible is trusted. The Bible is a trusted, detailed manuscript, all right? The scriptures are trusted manuscripts from the heart and the mind of God, all right? This is God speaking. When you wave your Bible, when you read your Bible, it's God speaking. It's what he wants. Everybody say, it's what God wants. It's what's given to us to follow. Now, what I'm glad is God doesn't require us to sign a form or an indemnification form. Amen? He knows that his word will not come back void. We don't have to sign a release form. The promises of God are yea, and they are what? They are amen. God's healing, speaking of healing, that the worship leader sung about this morning, sang about healing, but his healing doesn't have an expiration date. Amen? He is good and his mercy endures when? Forever. God's executive orders, his executive orders, he is the executive. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the executive order. Jesus is the only way, executive order. Yahweh is the executive calling the shots in the lives of his children. Amen. If you submit it to Yahweh, if you submit it to God, he says, I want it done this way. My word is my pen. It's from my pen. And you have a choice. A little different from the USA. You have a choice. There will be consequences. But God would not force you to love him, to respect him, to honor him. And he won't force you into heaven against your will. We have the right to say, God, your will be done. God is perhaps saying to us, your will be done. You don't want me, I don't want you. The Bible says if you draw nigh to him, he will do what? He will draw nigh to you. Lex, will you go with me? Yes or no? Yes, okay, we together. I'm trying to bring it down. So my disclaimer, I'm saying God is calling the shots. He is our executive, but anthropomorphically speaking, that's the best I can do because really, that's kind of lightweight for God. He is really better than an executive. And so it's the best I can do to call Yahweh an executive because he's better than an executive. But I think y'all get the point. So I'm trying to dance. I'm trying to make it plain, but I am human. So when I'm talking about God, that's what anthropomorphic means. You are putting human attributes on a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, somebody that really can't be explained. So have you ever tried to explain something you ran out of words? That's God. There's no way we can explain God. It's just he's hard to explain. So the best we can do, we're just doing the best we can. It's a metaphor. So I think y'all get it. That's my disclaimer so God won't get me just in case. He said, I'm better than an executive. You gonna reduce me to an executive? But I think y'all really get executive orders. Everyone may not agree with executive orders. I know you don't agree with executive orders coming from the White House, but everybody don't agree with executive orders coming from the Bible. Okay? By the way, if you agree or not agree, the executive orders in the Bible did not go away in the New Testament. These days, the Bible is under attack. All right. And y'all know I'm right. It's under attack. The enemy wants lawlessness and he wants sin to win. I mean, he won't send the wind. Why he won't send the wind? Why does the enemy want Alpheus to be full of sin, full of demonic activity? What is the result of me being full of demonic activity? Obviously, no healing, no peace. You know, it's depression. It's murder. It's what we see in the world. It's no love. Amen. And so the Bible executive orders from who? Yahweh. It corrects that. It fixes that. Amen. Amen. You're trying to hear from God and your Bible is closed. That's the problem. Amen. I just can't seem to hear from God. Well, open your Bible and peek at some of those executive orders. So many young people around us, man, I'm just trying to hear from God. I'm trying to hear from, open that Bible. God's executive order says to choose prayer when there's a problem. If you want to write it down, these kind of sounds eloquent, but they are real deal. Prayer when there's a problem, praise when there's pressure, fasting when there's fear. And America needs to fast. And the Grammy, now I'm really coming down our street, the Grammy for the producer of Remixing Fear goes to America. I've never seen so many Christians remixing fear like a producer. You get the Grammy, ma'am, sir. You being so creative with fear, false evidence appearing real. You're remixing something that is not even real. You get the Grammy. If you want the Grammy, you got the Grammy because you're remixing. It ain't even happened yet. Why are you remixing it? You're remixing something that's not even tangible. It is quiet in this church and online and on the audio because I know this. Brother Lawrence, he blasts this thing out. Amen. Y'all clap your hands for that. I mean, this message gets out. All right, it's in three different modalities. Fasting when there is fear. Fasting when there is fear. Fasting when your head talk is louder than the word of God. Fasting when you don't feel right. Fasting when you are making the wrong decisions. Fasting when everything around you is chaotic. Listen, I'm telling you what I know, and I know you guys know about fasting, but I just want to remind you the power of fasting. Amen. It's not just good for weight loss. It is good for mental health. If there's a cycle you're trying to break, fast that bad boy away. If there's some recurring thoughts you're trying to get out of your spirit, am I the only one? I remember a fast where it just seems like it just healed this negativity that was in my mind against XYZ. It's like it didn't even happen during the fast. As soon as I ate them lamb chops, it came back. In other words, there is something spiritual about fasting and praying, because the Bible talks about this kind of demon in this particular situation in the Bible. It lifts that this particular demon that was a stubborn demon was easy when you fasted and when you prayed. OK, don't have time to talk about that, but choose God's word when you need wisdom. If you're still writing. And then, of course, supernatural solutions for natural problems is always the way. So when natural is the go-to remedy for natural problems, nothing will ever heal. If you're choosing natural to heal natural, you ain't gonna get no results. Natural needs what? Supernatural. Amen. God still hates y'all. Okay. All right. I'm just watching the faces because remember I'm gonna be here 2 weeks and I'm glad about it. I may just get an Airbnb and just stay here until next Sunday. No, I gotta go to work. God still hates, but forgive sin. He hates, but he forgives sins in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, he hates sin. And in the New Testament, God still what? Thank God for Jesus. Everybody shout that out. Thank God for Jesus.
Thank God for Jesus.
But he still hates what? He still hates sin. Jesus is not an excuse to sin. Amen. It's just that he is now, we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus is grace. Jesus is proof that grace exists. In the Old Testament law, I think you guys will appreciate this. You can fill in the blanks. In Old Testament, in Exodus 20, 14, if you want to turn there, if you want to write this down. In Exodus 20, 14, the Bible says, fill in the blanks, you should not, executive order, order. But in the New Testament, Jesus said, you have heard it said. So what does he mean by what you have heard it said? In other words, he is referencing the Old Testament. He says, you should not commit adultery. So Jesus is talking about the executive orders in Exodus, all the way in the New Testament. You have heard it said. All right. He's not shading the Old Testament, but Jesus came to do what to the law? To fulfill it. He's upping the ante. It's more pressure with Jesus. So don't think you can get out. It's an easy escape with Jesus, because with Jesus, he says you should not commit adultery. You've heard it said that you should not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already did what? Committed adultery with her in his heart. No, I didn't, Jesus. He says, if you look on a woman with lust, you have committed adultery with her. I'm not in her bed, Jesus. I'm not in her house. I don't even have a key to her house. He says, if you look on her with lust, you have committed adultery with her in your heart. So which one seems the more, what seems easier? It seems like it's with Jesus, he is upping the ante. Amen. Numbers 32, the Old Testament law, or this executive order, it says, do not break your oath, but fulfill the Lord the vows you have made. That's in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, Jesus said, yeah, I'm like, uh-oh, how in the world Jesus is going to require more from us? Matthew 5, write this down, Matthew 5, verse 33. But I'll tell you, do not swear on an oath at all. On God. Y'all know what the young people saying right now. On my mama. On God. Jesus said, don't even do that. At all. The Old Testament says, don't break your oath. Jesus said, don't even swear. Don't even own God. Don't even own my mama. Let your yes be what? Yes, and your no be no. I told you I'm coming back next week here and I'm teaching. Guess what you're going to see next week? I'm going to be right here teaching. I ain't got to swear. Amen. If my car acts right, you know, if my car is straight and, you know, if everything checks out. But anyway, I'm almost finished. I think I want to get to the second part of this with just as much as excitement. Uncle Jaron ain't the only one excited on this and up here. Amen. I'm excited too. Let's go back to the scripture one more time. There is a way that seems right to a man. Everybody say, that seems right. Remember, it is said twice, that seems right. So again, we're trying to avoid what? TSR. You guys have some decisions to make in midterms, this week, on your job, that phone call. We have decisions every single day. I'm always faced with a decision to do the right thing or not. Amen. To pay the bill or to lie about paying the bill. Many of us have that decision. Amen. Amen. Y'all know we'll tell one in a minute when it comes to a bill. I ran out of checks. I know somebody in this room have told that. The Lord told me. Ran out of checks. I'm not at home. No, you can't come over. Just tell them. No, I don't want you to come over because I want my rest. Why do we just gotta lie? Just tell the truth, even when it hurts. Amen. Black History Month. I think it was Martin Luther King that says, tell the truth, even when your lips quiver. Dr. Martin Luther King. Clap your hands, guys. Black History. All right, let's keep going. So why we should hate evil like God hates evil. 16. There are six things the Lord hates. You have it on your worksheet. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to what? Evil. A false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Amen. Psalm 97:10 says, let those who love the Lord do what? Executive order. Do what? Do what? Hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. That's an executive order. I want to say this, definitely not a political teaching, all right? It may sound like it, but it's not, all right? Ish. Amen? Because I don't have no dog in any fight. Amen? But I want to say this, and I think I have it on the screen. You do not have to pick a side. You won't go to hell for standing with God's executive orders. I thought somebody was going to say amen other than Uno person. His orders are not blue or red. They are purple, which we use purple for kingdom. At least doesn't have to stand for kingdom. I'm just out of options. They are purple. Amen. Look at somebody, say it's okay to be purple. You don't have to pick a side. There should never be a conflict on deciding, number one, what evil behavior am I okay with? I was talking to a neighbor, and we were talking to, he brought it up, and he was talking about Democrats and Republicans, and he was saying, he was talking about Democrats, and he was talking about Republicans, and then he said, yeah, they Republicans, they got some bad stuff going on over here, too. And then I'm like, what do you mean, too? So first of all, you're alluding that Democrats have some bad stuff going on, and then he says, Republicans have bad stuff going on over there, too. How about we take the position, I don't like bad stuff going on. Number two, morally wrong actions are wrong no matter who it is. Amen. Celebrity, family, politician. Do y'all know how many times me personally had to confront even family members about some nonsense? You Alpheus? Yes. Wrong is wrong no matter where it shows up. Amen. Amen. If Lex come in the house drunk, you know who's going to let her have it? So that's too much white Zinfandel. I'm not going to drag her. In other words, no morally wrong actions. I'm glad y'all laughing. Because this is really kind of a tough teaching today if you look in it. Amen. Morally wrong actions are wrong no matter who it is. Celebrity, family, politician, preacher, or artist. Doesn't have a red or blue color. I hate sin in you, and I hate sin in Alpheus. Number three, blatant attack against God's word is out of bounds no matter where it's coming from. That's a good place to clap. I don't care who it comes from. You're out of pocket. Amen. It's not my opinion. It's God's executive orders. Don't let anybody cause you to be on a particular side with wrong. because that may seems right. And it's interesting, I don't know if anybody else in the world has saw this, but I'm ADD, so I see things. See is in the word seems. You probably see that, but what does that mean? The M and the S, it just screamed out to me. The M could stand for misleading, and the S could stand for something that's suspicious. So seeing something that's misleading and suspicious. It seems right, but just look at the fine print. Look at the fine print of the executive orders. Be honest. Raise your hand if you've never read an entire executive order. The camera's not on you, it's on me. You know about executive orders, but you cannot say that you've read an executive order coming from the White House from front to finish. If you have, keep your hands down. If you've read the entire, if you have not read an entire executive order in your life, you have not, raise your hand. Now, if you have read at least one entire executive order from front to finish, raise your hand. At least one, raise your hand. I only see one hand. Raise your hand if you read half of an executive order. Okay, I at least got a half a hand. Raise your hand if you read the headlines of the executive order. Perhaps we're more upset at the headline than the fine print. Why are we upset at something we've never read from detail to detail? Why are you upset at the Bible and you've never read it? Amen. The Bible is false. Have you ever read it? No, I just know it's false. It's full of falsehood. Have you ever read it? It's quiet online. Matthew 23, TSR. That seems right. Y'all don't be tricked, please, guys. This is from my heart. Don't be tricked out here in these streets. They're trying to get us. Who are they? The enemy. People can't define they. I can define they. It's the enemy and all of his imps. They are the they. They're trying to get us. They're trying to get us. Amen. They're trying to get us. Please don't fall for it. Amen. Don't fall for it. Matthew 23. Media. By the way, that's what I wanted to say. Media. Spell media. Spell media. M-E-D-I-A. Spell medicine. M-E-D-I-A. Spell medical. M-E-D-I-C. Spell medieval. M-E-D. Do you see a common denominator? Spell meditation. M-E-D-I. Amen? Y'all see what the media is trying to do? Get on the Medi is middle. He's trying to get in the middle of the body of Christ. How did you find that so quick? Lamb chops on me after service, baby. you are fire. That's the hand of God. Matthew 23, and that wasn't even in my slide, so I don't know where she pulled it from. Maybe she created it real quick. She knew where I was going. Y'all better find your good wife. She got your back and your front. Matthew 23 says, TSR, that seems right. That seems right. I got to wrap this up. That seems right. That seems right. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Read this with me. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly. TSR. But inside are full of what? Dead men's bones and are uncleanness and all uncleanness. Even so, you are outwardly what? TSR, appear righteousness to men. But inside you are what? Full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. At the end, you're going to die. At the end, it's not going to be well for you. Who wrote this? Who wrote this, guys? Who is responsible for writing this, giving us this tip, this advice? It's in Proverbs. So you have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Who wrote this? Solomon. Solomon was what? He was the wisest man that. How do you become how do you become wise? How do you become wise? Experience. You live a long time. You make some bad choices. Amen. You know, but God endowed Solomon with wisdom at a young age. He had discernment, but his wisdom. Write this down. Unguided wisdom is just smart corruption. Write this down. Unguided wisdom is just what? Smart corruption. Many in this room, we are gifted. Don't leave your gift unattended. What does that mean? Don't leave your gift. Make sure your gift is not unattended by who? The gift giver. That makes sense? All right. How do you know, Solomon? How do you know that there is a way that seems right, but at the end, the way is death? This is something you may not have ever heard or heard lifted. And there was a pastor, Pastor Lewis, and he asked the right questions and he lifted some of what I'm about to lift. I want to make sure that I say that. Amen. Because it was very interesting. And Solomon in his, this is kind of juicy and it may make you say, I respect Solomon as the wisest man to ever live. I want some of that. Amen. Solomon had four W's. Write this down. You may have heard me say this before, but just as a reminder, he had wisdom. He had, this is Solomon. He had women, a lot of women. I'm going to come back to the women. He had work, a lot of building projects like temples and storehouses. Solomon had a lot of work. He had a lot of what? Women, a lot of what? Work, a lot of wisdom. I just lifted wisdom. And he had a lot of wealth. This describes Solomon. Wisdom, wealth, work, and women. Everybody say women. In his latter years, the Bible says that Solomon's heart was turned away from God. TSR, his heart. What did you do, Solomon? Everybody say, Solomon, what did you do? Who wrote Ecclesiastes? Proverbs. We actually see evidence in the scriptures because the Bible only recorded that Solomon had what? One kid. I stand corrected. But who was Solomon's son that the Bible recorded? Shout it out. I hear some conflicting answers. Y'all better prove it. Who was Solomon's son? Shout it out. Shout it out. Rehoboam. David was his dad. But this is my point. Are y'all not seeing what I'm seeing? Don't get stuck on you didn't get the answer right, Grace. It don't matter. But what we have to dig in right now is because Solomon wrote the scripture, there is a way that seems right, but the end leads to destruction. And you're supposed to be wise. You're not wise enough to see that the end is coming and it's not going to be well for you. Perhaps. In his latter years, his heart was turned away from God. We see a glimpse of this in the scripture because he had a lot of women. He had a lot of wives. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He said, woo, I don't know if you it makes some men excited. Makes me nervous. Enough to handle. Amen. Not yet, sweets. The women that Solomon married and fooled around with, messed around with, depending on what generation. Y'all, he messing with her, or he going with her. They go together. He messing. Y'all know, I mean, I've heard all of this coming up as a kid. They together, food around, whatever. They did not serve the same God that he served. He was not supposed to fool around with certain women. The God, the children of Israel was not supposed to intermarry. God would always say, don't mess with them women. Why? Because the Bible says Solomon's heart was turned away from God. How was it turned away from God? It had to be turned away from God through action. Because out of the abundance of the heart, there are what? Actions. The women, this feels juicy to me, that Solomon was messing with, to name a few, served some of these little G-O-Ds. Number one, this particular god was the goddess of fertility, okay? Love and war. Moloch, I want to lift this one, all right? You can write this down on your sheet. Moloch was a detestable god of the Ammonites associated with what? Child sacrifice. Why does the Bible only record Solomon having one kid when you had 1,000 women? What happened to the kids? What happened to all of those kids, Solomon? You are the daddy, but you're messing with women that are serving and worshiping detestable gods, because Moloch is the god where, is the false god, by the way, where to worship Moloch, you have to sacrifice kids, babies. I am just asking a question that Pastor Lewis asked. He actually deduced this. I'm going to ask the question. Solomon, did you participate in killing all of your kids that your wives and concubines worship? Everybody say, we have to be equally yoked in every way. This number three, C-H-E-M-O-S-H, this is the god of the Moabites, night storm and fertility god. Why are many of these gods dealing with people, kids, or people, humans that are not here yet? Do y'all see what's happening here? It seems like there's a diabolical plot to stop something or to kill something that's not already here. Are y'all seeing this? His heart was turned away from God, one, for messing with these women. So he could obviously write, there is a right, there's a way that seems right, but the end leads to destruction. That's why I'm finished. That's why God had to write these or issue these executive orders. First of all, the Bible is full of real life accounts that we as Christians could fairly say that we're embarrassed about. Amen. It's real life. Amen. I don't know why we are surprised with what's going on in the world when you read your Bible. It's nothing new under the sun. Amen. Abortion happened. Moloch is basically abortion. Worshiping the Moloch god is abortion, which is we don't kill innocent babies. And all of God's people said what? When the baby is crying, imagine worshiping the Moloch god, and you put your baby on this hot sizzling god, that when you put the baby on the hot sizzling iron god that was man-made. By the way, that don't make sense. You made your God and you worshiping something that you made. Just worship yourself. and you are killing the baby on this God that has arms that you heat up with fire. And then when you put the baby on the fire, it kills the baby. I'm talking about out of the womb baby. This was like a common practice with this group of women that Solomon messed with. Amen? That seems right. And then Solomon, number five, he married Pharaoh's daughter, 1 Kings 3 and 1, which likely tolerated Egyptian deities as well. If this is true, this is why God has executive orders to straighten us out. Do not let any of your children, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to who? Molech. For you must what? Not profane the name of your God. Executive order, I am the Lord. Do you think the false God worship to Molech stopped? It's still going on today. Different form, but people are still sacrificing to Molech. Please don't be asleep at the wheel, guys. It is still happening in plain sight, covertly and overtly. People are still doing this, like intentional. Speaking of intentional, this is being done in so many ways. Amen. This is not a conspiracy theorist. This is fact. This is the word of God. Amen. All right, everybody standing. Everybody standing. I want to end with this a few statements. Y'all enjoyed this teaching today? I'm trying to avoid TSR. Amen. Anybody else trying to avoid TSR? That seems right. I don't like to be scammed. God is not trying to scam us. He is not trying to scam us. He is not. It's not in vain when you love your neighbor as yourself. It's not in vain. It is not in vain when you forgive somebody that you want to fight. I know you want to fight them. I know they did you wrong. Executive order says we love your enemies. Amen. Who am I talking to? I hate when they say that. I hate when she says that. But guess what the executive order is? I don't like it. I don't want to do it. But the executive order is to love those who mistreat you. Amen. Woo! I mean, even if you have to do that, what I just did. Woo! Everybody get that out. Everybody say, woo! We know that's code for what? We know that's code for I don't want to do it. Not my will. But your will be done. Amen. Three ways to avoid TSR that seems right. Number one, choose God over your gut. Number two, get wise, objective counsel. Number three, ask the Holy Ghost to assist you. And this is the SOS test. S stands for scriptures. O stands for others, which is counsel. S stands for the Holy Ghost Spirit. So do the SOS test. Let's do the SOS test every single day for the rest of this year. TSR, to avoid TSR. Clap your hands. I'm finished.